Well, the last few weeks I've been talking about who Jesus is, if you hadn't caught the theme of that, okay. Last week was about He is our refuge, and we looked into what the word refuge means, and the Hebrew words, Hebrew pictograms, that basically show it's Jesus is a wall around about us, a wall of grace that protects us from everything of the enemy, that you have that force field, if you want to look at it that way, you know, in Star Wars, how they have the force field, or even in the Starship Enterprise, it's probably even better one, you know, the force field around the... That's the way God has made it for you. He's given you that protection. And we saw that last week, and it's your choice, it's our choice, whether we live in it. That's why straight after that it says, there is no fear once you know God is your protection. Fear is one of the things that allows arrows to get through that force field. That's why Jesus was constantly saying to his disciples, fear not, fear not. Don't let fear in. Drive it away. Stay in the peace of God. Stay in the knowledge that His blessing is upon you. That His plan is so good. Right? We sang, He's a good, good Father. But we, as humans, don't really understand the concept of good in terms of the absolute good that God is. There is no thought of retribution, there's no thought of bad, there's no thought of evil, there's no thought even of telling you off, or it's God, He is so good, all He wants is your blessing. And what comes to me is the scripture that, again, just one of those favorite scriptures of mine now is in Revelation 3:15, where He said, I would you're cold or hot, but because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. And when I asked the Lord about that, and He showed me it was talking about the difference between the old and the new covenant, cold being the old, hot being the new. But when you mix the two, when there's a mixture of what my performance is with what God's blessing is, then God said, I spew you out of my mouth. And I was like, what do you mean, Father, you spew them out of your mouth? Because I know you can't lose your relationship with God once you've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. When you accept redemption, there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God, okay? And He said to me, He said, Peter, I can't bless people the way I want to. That to Him is spewing you out of His mouth. That's how good He is. He wants you blessed the way He promised Adam in the Garden of Eden when He says, be fruitful and multiply. Enjoy life. Life is supposed to be a blast. We're supposed to have fun. We're supposed to enjoy life. We're supposed to be here reflecting what heaven's like. That's what the world needs to see. Christians who live the way it is in heaven. That's what Jesus said. Your will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. That's His plan. It hasn't changed since the foundation or before the foundation of the world. And so when He said, I spew you out of my mouth, He said, I can't bless them the way I want to. And then He explained to me, He said, because if I did, those that are lukewarm, then they would think their performance had something to do with my blessing. Boy, that really got to me. Because there's so many times, you know, I was raised in religion, so many times it was what I had to do to get God's blessing. Got to read the Bible, got to pray, got to go to church, got to give your money, got to do mission work. All these things that we're told, this is what you've got to do. God says, when you're doing that out of your own volition, to try and please me out of a labor, then I can't bless you. What He blesses is when we just follow the Holy Spirit. When we listen to the Holy Spirit, that prompting to give someone something, to bless them or to fellowship or whatever it is, the Lord gives you the Holy Spirit to share the good news with someone. Whatever it is, that's when the blessing of God is there, and that's where the joy is. Maybe it's come into the quiet place. Maybe it's as we heard in the singing, come, sit in my arms, let me hug you, right? Let me just love you. Maybe that's all it is. Whatever it is, when the Holy Spirit's leading you, then God's protection and His blessing and His provision and everything are upon you. And so today we're going to continue on that same theme, because there is so much we can say about Jesus. And anything that doesn't point to Jesus is not the Bible. Okay? This is all about Jesus. He is our big brother. He is our master. He is our king. He is our everything. And so as we look into the Word, we find Jesus. Everything from the Old Covenant, which was a picture of Jesus, through to what Jesus did in the New Covenant that we live in now. All the good things God has given to us, that's what He wants us to live in. And it reminds me of talking about old and new. You know, do you remember the sacrifice? And this was the sin offering. And for this, remember, there's five offerings in the Old Covenant that all reflect different aspects of what Jesus did. Okay, and there was the meal offering, which was the bread and the wine, or the bread and the oil. Okay, the body and the Holy Spirit. Okay, that was the one that wasn't meat. The other four were meat offerings. Then there was the sin offering, which was, this is what they did. It actually was two parts to it. There was the wave offering and the heave offering. Okay, they were the two parts that were required for the sin offering. And what the priest did was he took the shoulder of the lamb and he waved it, right? And then he took the thigh and he heaved it. Did you see what that just did? Made the picture of the cross, right? It's a picture of what Jesus did in the sin offering. He became the sin offering for us to eradicate the consequences of sin. As far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed it from you, says the Lord. So much so, he doesn't even remember it exists anymore. It's Isaiah 54. I'll never be wroth with you nor rebuke you, because it's gone. I have eradicated it. And so when we start seeing those pictures of Jesus, we find everything in the scripture talks about him, what he's done for us, and that's why we fall in love with him. That's why one of those songs there, it says, you know, I love you, Lord. And that's the response we have, because he loves us. As we're singing that song says, I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. He calls me his beloved. I am beloved of the Father. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 4. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you in Jesus Christ. All right. This is Paul's basically declaration over the church at Corinth, saying he's always giving thanks, rejoicing because of the grace that they had received. Now you understand, and I have a cross-reference here, John 1:17, that's the verse 16-17, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, right? For therein is the righteousness of God revealed by faith in faith, okay? Nope, that's the wrong one. I was thinking of a different scripture. All right. Verse 1, John 1:16 is, and of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. Right? Of his fullness have we all received. I'm not ashamed, is actually Romans 1:16. Okay. So this is, of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. And the illustration there is the beach where you dig a hole and the water comes in. When you throw the water out, more water's there. You can't get rid of it. That's what that grace for grace is. God's continuous supply of grace. So Paul says here, for the grace that God has given to you, and now the King James says, by Jesus Christ. Well, we know that grace and truth came in the person of Jesus, and so I translate that by, it can also be put as in, right? The Greek you can say either by or in or at, there's a number of different words. I prefer the word in there. Yours says in, okay, and then what's that, New American Standard? Right. Some of the versions say in, I prefer in. The grace of God which is given you in Jesus Christ. Why? Because grace is a person. We think of grace as being a thing. No, grace is a person. Right? John says that in John 1. Grace came in the person of Jesus Christ. He is grace and truth. And so, here he's talking about the fact that we are in Christ is what releases God's grace to us. Verse 5, that in everything you are enriched in him. Now that word enriched literally means made wealthy, made rich. And I looked up the Greek, it means made rich. That can be in physical things, in spiritual things, in soul things, in every area of your life, you are made rich. A lot of people try to spiritualize that and say, well, yes, we are rich in the blessing of God. Well, that's good. Yeah, you're rich in the blessing of God, but he also wants you to be rich in the material things. You can't give to people if you don't have something. You can't be a blessing if you're always begging, right? So God wants you rich. He says here, in everything. Does your Bible say everything? Mm-hmm. That's what the Greek says too. In everything. That's not just in your spiritual life. This is in everything. In your everyday life, in your business, in your relationships, in your family, in everything, you are enriched in Jesus. Why? Because he is the source of life. The Zoe life of God flows in him. And in all utterance and in all knowledge. In all utterance is the word logos in the Greek, which is the word, literally means word. A spoken word, any word, right? So you are enriched in all utterance and in all knowledge. And that's the word gnosis, which is the general knowledge of everything. So God wants you rich, not just in the natural things, but also in what you say. You're supposed to say good things. That's part of what we get to do. We say what God says. We are enriched in him. Verse 6, even as the testimony of Christ, the anointed one and his anointing, was confirmed in you. And that word confirmed also means established or made visible in you. The testimony of Jesus. How do people see Jesus in you? Well, we're going to have a look at a way today, right? Because often you are the only person, the only Bible people read. When they bump your bucket, what happens? Do they get dumped on? Or do they get blessed? Does anyone ever bump your bucket? It happens, right? And as the word that's in you comes out, that's what confirms the testimony of Jesus. And the word testimony literally means evidence. Is there enough evidence to convict you of being a child of the living God? Good. In the courts of this earth, if they were to convict you, can they convict you that you are a born-again, Bible-filled, anointed minister of God who goes around healing the sick, raising the dead, speaking life, doing greater works than Jesus did? Amen. That's what we're called to. That is what we live in these days. Okay, so the evidence of Jesus was established in you. Verse 7. So that you come behind in no gift. So that you come behind in no gift. In other words, there is no one who has more of the gift than you do. Not lacking any gift. Same thing, yeah? Come behind, I like that term because it means there's no one, you know, you often see people like, you know, Smith Wigglesworth, healing the dead, raising the sick, doing all that kind of stuff, or raising the dead, healing the sick, get the right way around. Okay, so he did all those powerful things. Well, you come behind, you don't come behind him. You are behind in no gift. So everything that he had, we have. That can be a challenge to our minds because we tend to see ourselves as, well, I'm not quite as good as he was. Why? Well, I haven't spent as much time in the Word. I haven't been anointed to do this. We have excuses. There is no excuse. You are anointed of God. He has given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. It's already been given. That's what we live in. So we come behind in no gift. Waiting, and that's the word present tense, fully expecting the coming, a better translation there is the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you feel behind, simply you need a greater revelation of Jesus. Now that goes back to understanding faith, right? The greater revelation of Jesus is knowing that he has all the faith that you need. His faith accomplished everything for us. And all I have to know is how big his faith is. Why? Because Galatians 2:20 says, I live by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for me. So when I see how big his faith is, my faith increases. The bigger I see his faith, the bigger my faith is. That's what sets me free from the fear that, well, maybe if I pray for someone, maybe I won't have the right words, maybe it won't happen, maybe get rid of that. All you have to see is Jesus' supply. He has already provided it all. He has made it possible for you to live with no gift lacking in your life. All right? In Christ, that's where you stand. No gift lacking. Verse 8, who shall also establish you unto the end? And then the translators put in there that ye may be. No, you are. All right? Who's establishing you unto the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? You've already been judged blameless. You've already been justified. Not going to happen again. You are righteous. That's the way God has made us. That's how powerful Jesus' work was. So he is confirming and establishing you throughout your life unto the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus. What's the day of our Lord Jesus? Every day you're alive is the day of Jesus, because you walk with him. You are him here on the earth. That's what Satan didn't understand when he put Jesus on the cross, was Jesus' death and resurrection made every single person who believes on Jesus a little Jesus, or a full Jesus. No, stop saying little, because as he is, so are we in this earth. 1 John 4:17. He's alive, healthy, anointed, powerful. That's who we are. Again, this is, I'm sharing stuff you all know, but this just refreshing our minds, because we tend to forget. Human nature tends to, life happens. So we remind ourselves, thank you, Jesus, for what a good God you are, that you are blameless every day. And the Lord Jesus is in you, operating through you, fulfilling God's calling in you. Verse 9, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is faithful. Why? Because he loves you. He's trustworthy. He will do what he says. So let's drop down now to verse 30, because this talks more about who Jesus is. Verse 30 says, or verse 29 says, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Right? So we don't glory in anything of ourselves. That's why that Revelation 3:15 is so powerful. Spew out of my mouth, if you try to glory in anything you did, if you think that anything you did is what brings my blessing, you can't. Verse 29 here says, no flesh should glory in his presence. Now the good news, the amazing news, and this is the goodness of God, is God has imparted the fullness of his glory into us. But we can't glory in ourselves. We can't glory in our flesh, can't glory in our abilities. We glory in Jesus. The world needs to see the glory of Jesus, his goodness, his power, okay? So no flesh shall glory in his presence, but of him, verse 30, of him are you in Christ Jesus. In other words, of God are you in Jesus. In other words, you have been made the child of God. Again, as Jesus is, so are we. We have been made just like God, righteous, upright, in every area in your life. God has made you like him. Why? In Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. All right? So there's four messages right there. Probably do those over the next 4 weeks. Okay? But this one here that I want to pick up today is the word wisdom. Made unto us wisdom. All right? Wisdom. Most of you probably have a concept of what wisdom is. There's a number of definitions out there. One I like is wisdom is knowing what to do at the right time. And doing it at the right time, should I say. In every instance, knowing the right thing to do. That's wisdom. Where do you get that from? The Holy Spirit, right? Isn't that what Jesus said? He will lead you into all truth. He'll be your comforter, your guide, teaching you, showing you, reminding you all the time that you are the righteousness of God. His whole purpose is to reveal the Father in you. Revealing him to the world, revealing him to us too, ministering Jesus. And so wisdom here is talking about Jesus has made unto us wisdom. So all the knowledge, all the wisdom, all the revelation, everything that God has is given to us in Jesus. That's why we say Jesus is our wisdom. So let's go over to Proverbs where it talks about wisdom. God recorded back here what wisdom is and how to get it. Well, you've already got it. Isn't that the good news? God's given you wisdom. Who is it? Jesus. So the revelation of Jesus is learning more about him, about his love, about how he operates, how he thinks. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He brings God's way of thinking into our lives. That's why the first clause of the New Covenant, God says, I will put my way of thinking in your mind and write it in your hearts. Writing it in your hearts means put it into your emotions too. My way of emoting, right? So we don't react by our emotions. We enjoy them and let God minister through them. So Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Okay, let me preface this here. This is written by Solomon talking about the wisdom and the goodness of God. Now you have to take this and translate it New Covenant words. Okay, pick it up in terms of how the New Covenant talks about it. So when it's saying trust in the Lord with all your heart, that's where Jesus said, have faith. That's what trust is, faith, right? No fear, because fear is the opposite of faith. They have the same definition. Fear is the expectation of something bad happening. Faith is the expectation of something good happening, right? Faith. Believing the good things of God. That's what faith is. So fear is where you think, something bad could happen. Faith is, nope. God only has good for me. Okay? And so here where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, that's saying make it a commitment for your mind, will, and emotions, everything in you, to lean and trust on God. Believe what God says, not what you think or what the world says. What your education has taught you, what society says, hear what God says. That's the start of wisdom, trusting in the Lord with all your heart. And then he goes on and explains that, and lean not to your own understanding. In other words, live by revelation of the Spirit, not by what we think, not by what we translate, what we expect, our experience, but by what God says. Verse 6, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And the word acknowledge in the Hebrew literally means to know or to see. In all your ways, see him. Know him. It doesn't just mean, yeah, I acknowledge God's there. No, this is the active relationship, living with him. Okay, in all your ways, live with him, acknowledge him, see him, draw on his knowledge, and he shall direct your path. Ties in exactly what the Holy Spirit's job is, to guide you and direct you. Be not wise in your own eyes. Reverence the Lord, love him, fear him, enjoy him, and depart from evil. The love of the Lord is what gets rid of evil, when you know how much you're loved, right? Departing from evil is not an act of your will, it's a benefit, a fruit of your relationship with God. That's another thing that set me free. Because before it was always about me choosing not to do the wrong, right? Now it's me choosing just to listen to the Holy Spirit, which is a whole lot easier than my self-effort trying not to do things. All right? So, departing from evil is a consequence of acknowledging the Lord, listening to his direction, and following him. This is all talking about wisdom. And here it says, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And the topic the Lord gave me this morning, and that's the reason we're talking about wisdom, is Jesus is our health. All right, I just felt that I needed to share that again today. Most of you know it. In fact, probably all of you know it. Your health, your wholeness, your healing, your divine health is a type, wisdom is what brings it. Getting wisdom gets health. All right? So where it says seek wisdom and pursue it, one of the benefits is you become healthy. And this is what it says here. Be not wise in your own eyes. In other words, rely on the Lord. That's wisdom. Listen to him. Learn to think his way. And then it says, getting that wisdom shall be health to your navel. That's interesting. Why would they say health to your navel? My navel is actually pretty healthy. Right? Probably for most of you too. But maybe your foot's not, or your back's not, or your... So why does it say health to your navel? It's a strange thing that Solomon wrote there. So I looked up the Hebrew word for navel, and you know what it literally means? Your umbilical cord. Interesting. You don't have an umbilical cord anymore. But yes, you do. You are connected to God in Jesus. He in us. So here it's saying it is health to your navel. And when you think about the baby in uterus, right? All of the nutrients, everything it lives on, are supplied by the umbilical cord. Everything for its development, everything for its life-sustaining, everything for its activities, everything is supplied by the umbilical cord. And that's the analogy that Solomon's using here, saying your connection to God is the source for everything of your health. That kind of puts a damper on a lot of the health industry in our country, right? Because a lot of them think, you know, well, you need to eat the right vegetables, you need to take all these supplements, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But when that is the focus, you've missed out on divine health. Divine health is a blessing from God. A healthy body is God's provision for you. Now, you listen to the Holy Spirit, and if he says, take those supplements, take those supplements. If he says, cut down on how much you eat, cut down on how much you eat. If he says, right, it's not about me reading some magazine which says, you know, you need to take this particular herb, supplements, whatever, and that will cleanse your body and do all these right things. You go, ooh, I need to do that, so you take that. No, you listen to the Holy Spirit. And what does he say? Because that might not be the right recipe for you. He knows how you're made. He knows what you need. So you follow him. Again, I'm not saying don't take those things, but only take them if the Holy Spirit tells you to take them. Right? Enjoy it. So here it says, it shall be health. What is? Wisdom. Shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Now the word marrow in the Hebrew can also mean refreshment. It also means supply of nutrients, supply of life. And when you think about it, what does the marrow in your body do? It produces your blood. Healthy blood comes from healthy marrow. And every part of the body is sustained by the blood. Your whole life can be measured in the blood. But they can tell exactly anything in order or out of order in your blood work. Right? So here, wisdom, that's what Solomon is saying, wisdom is marrow to your bones. In other words, it is the life-giving substance for your physical body as well. Soul and spirit and body. Health to thy bones. And then he goes on, honor the Lord with thy substance and with all the first fruits of thine increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty and your presses burst out with new wine. In other words, there's no shortage when wisdom is the principal thing. Drop over to chapter 4. Let's have a look at chapter 4, verse 5. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. All right? Now, the good news for us is God says, I put my way of thinking and my way of speaking, my way of operating, I'm going to put that in your mind. So for us, it's the choice to believe what God says. That is wisdom. Not what the world says, not what our own thinking says. Getting wisdom and getting understanding is embracing God's way of speaking, God's way of thinking, God's way of talking. So when God says you are righteous, you agree, even if you don't feel like it. When God says you are healthy, you agree, even if you don't see it with your natural eye. If God says you are abundantly blessed, what are you? You are abundantly blessed. If God says you are deeply loved, what are you? Deeply loved. Even when you don't feel like it, when you feel alone and no one loves you, and God's saying, son, daughter, you are the most precious thing to me. Come, rest in my arms. Right? Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. In other words, turn away from what I say. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. And that word preserve is the word protect, cover. In the Greek, in the Hebrew rather, this is an interesting word in the Hebrew, it's the word shamer, made up of three Hebrew letters. And as you know, Hebrew letters have pictures with them. And this word protect, preserve rather, in the Hebrew, shamer, shin, which is the picture of God, God the Father, mem is water, which is the Spirit, resh is the head, which is Jesus. The Godhead is your protection. Thank you, Jesus. All right, so here he says, your preservation, she shall preserve thee. Forsake her not. Forsake Jesus, forsake not wisdom, forsake not listening to the Holy Spirit. It is what will preserve you, protect you, provide for you, bless you. The whole of the Godhead, love her, and she shall keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. What is wisdom? Wrong question. Who is wisdom? Jesus. Right? We just read that in 1 Corinthians. He is made unto us wisdom. It's all about Jesus. It's about knowing him, about walking with him. All right? Have a look at verse 8. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. Exalt who? Jesus. And he shall promote thee. Have you ever read it that way? Exalt Jesus. That's what we do. We lift him up. He is the life giver. He is our focus. He is our king. Exalt him. We sing that. We worship him, right? And he will promote you. He will bring you honor when you embrace him. Now, he personified wisdom as a her, so you could take it as him or her, all right? He shall give thine head an ornament of grace. Wisdom shall give your head an ornament of grace. Jesus shall give your head an ornament of grace. And the word ornament there is a wreath. It's actually the word similar to the bema seat, the bema in Greek, which is the laurel wreath, the winner's wreath. He shall give you a wreath. In other words, an overcomer's crown. Shall give you an ornament of grace. Why? Because we didn't overcome of ourselves. It's God's grace that overcame for us, right? So he gives you that wreath of grace that says, because I overcame, you overcome also. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, life's so good. You can't help but win because he's already won. We just get to enjoy the benefits, all right? He'll give you an ornament of grace or a crown of grace, a wreath of grace, and a crown of glory shall she deliver to you. And that crown literally is a king's crown as opposed to the wreath. That's the two different Hebrew words. The crown of glory, and that refers to the radiance of glory, the crown that reflects, okay? That's what people see. They see the glory of God on you. They see God's presence walking with you. They see how good God is to you. So divine health is in Jesus. So let's look at a few scriptures to remind ourselves what it means to walk in divine health. Because there's a lot of things that attack our physical bodies. In this natural world, there's stuff that tries to get on you, that tries to hurt you, that tries to destroy this physical body. And God's plan is for you to live divinely healthy. Now, divinely healthy means the same as Jesus was when he was on the earth. Right? In his natural physical body, he was healthy. His body was like ours. But he wasn't subject to the curse. Right? He was sinless, so he was not under the curse. Good news is, you're not either. Galatians 3:13, you've been redeemed from the curse that came in because of the law, because he became the curse for us. That's the divine exchange. He took the curse so that we could live in his life. So sickness couldn't touch him. He lived divinely healthy. Didn't get sick, didn't cough, didn't catch the flu, didn't get COVID, didn't do anything like that. Okay? His body did get weary. It says he rested. But that doesn't mean he was sick. He needed energy like us. He needed to take in food. Of course, he got energy from sharing the gospel. That gave him an extra boost, sharing the good news. Psalm 91. Let's start there. Psalm 91, verse 9. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge. Now remember in this passage, this is Jesus talking. Okay, verses 3 through 13 is Jesus talking as your mediator. Verse 2 is what you said, I will save the Lord. He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Then Jesus starts prophesying over you from verse 3 to verse 13. And this is what he says about you. Because you, talking to you, have made the Lord, which is Elohim, God the Father, because you have made him your refuge. That's what you said up in verse 2. You are my refuge and my fortress. You are my stronghold. You are the one I trust, right? We talked about that last week. You are my refuge. Because you have made him your refuge, and even the Most High, your habitation, that's El Elyon, the Most High. So two names for God. All right, he throws them in here, because you have declared him to be your God. Now what's the second clause of the New Covenant say? I will be your God, you shall be my people. Just agree with that. He is my God. I mean, he is my source, he is my supply, he is everything I need. That's a covenant promise from God. All you have to do is agree with it. Right? He has chosen to be your God. And because you have agreed with that and said, yes, you are my God, verse 10, there shall no evil befall you. So how come Christians suffer sickness and disease and accidents and things? How come? Because they haven't said, you are my refuge and my fortress. When I say, it has not become an active living lifestyle. Remember, believe, results in right thinking. Right believing results in right thinking, which results in right speaking, which manifests in right living. Okay? So when you speak and declare, you are my refuge and my fortress, it has to be from the revelation that God is your God. That fear doesn't come in. You've changed your thinking to see yourself as his righteousness, to see yourself protected by him, to see him as your supply, as everything you need, to see him as your healer. You've lined your thinking up with what God says, I am the one that heals you, right? I am the one that blesses you. I am the one that protects you. You've lined your thinking up with that, and as a result of that belief, changing your thinking, now that's what you're going to say. So when a sickness tries to attack you, your response is, it has no right. I reject that in Jesus' name. Sickness does not belong in this body. Thank you, Father, I receive the divine health that you have given me. That's what I live in. That's how God's divine health manifests in your physical body. It's not because you go out and eat all the right foods. Divine health is a gift. It comes from God. And here God says, no evil shall befall you. It can try, but you have a force field of protection round about you. All right? No evil shall befall you, in the next part, nor shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. Plague is any sickness, disease, poverty, lack, whatever. Plague. You all know what a plague is, right? It says there, no plague shall come nigh your dwelling. Now, I apply that to our house. Our house, in every area, that's where you dwell. You dwell in this first, and you dwell in this location here, and in this city, and in this land. So you can apply it to all of it. No plague shall come nigh your dwelling. We have the right to believe that and declare it. This verse here tells you that. God has covenanted to protect you. This is, remember, this is Jesus saying, because you have made the Lord your refuge, because you have chosen to say what he says, think what he thinks, be part of him, because you've made that choice, therefore, no plague comes nigh your dwelling. No evil befalls you. So, the root cause of sickness and disease is because people don't believe that. The root cause. The root cause is the curse. The root causes to why Christians suffer sickness, disease, lack, poverty, pain, those things, is because they don't believe the way God declares things. It's called fear or a lack of faith. It's called self-effort. It's called trying to do it ourselves, trying to fix our own lives. I've found that doesn't work. We need to let go and let God, all right? Neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. Go over to Psalm 100, or no, drop down to verse 15. Sorry, missed verse 15. So Jesus talks from 3 to 13, and he declares that about you, no evil and no plague. And then from 14 to 16, God the Father speaks. In response to Jesus' intercession, this is what God the Father declares. Verse 15, he says, he, talking about us, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I am with him in trouble. I deliver him and honor him. That's God's covenant promise. When God says, I will be their God, these three verses are what he says about you. Interesting, in verse 15, he says, he shall call upon me. The Hebrew word for call is to cry out or to declare upon me. He shall declare. Literally, it's saying, he shall say what I say. It's two Hebrew words. Declare, call, shout out, me, Elohim. I declare Yeshua. Another, any of the names of God can fit into here. He shall call out me. Wow, that's pretty powerful. When you say what God says, I watch over my word to perform it. God says you are divinely healthy. No sickness comes nigh your dwelling. No lack, no failure. God says, you say that, I will answer him. And the word answer means I will do it. It is done. Literally saying, when you declare it, it is done. That's what God's saying. Woo, thank you, Jesus. I am with him in trouble. In other words, the curse is still out there, but God is with you, your protector, your blessing. I deliver him, and that means I equip him, I give him the ability to go through it without it touching him, and I honor him. What does honor mean? It means the world sees God's blessing on you. They see every good thing God wants you to live in. Now go over to Psalm 103, verse 3. The blessings of God, who forgives all your iniquities. There's a good basis there, knowing you are the righteousness of God. We've already talked about that. All your iniquities gone. And healeth all your diseases. Anything that is at ease, dis-ease, anything that's not right according to God's design. He says he heals it. How? Through what Jesus did on the cross. Through the body of Jesus, he has delivered us from the curse. Through his blood, he has made us righteous. And so here, the covenant promise of God is, he has forgiven all your iniquities and healed all your diseases. How did he do that? In Jesus. That's where this all comes to. Jesus is our wisdom. He is our healer. The divine health we have is because of Jesus. Not because of our performance, not because we did all the right things, ate all the right foods, or drank all the right stuff. No, it's because of Jesus. He is our health. And we walk and live with him. And he goes on, satisfies your mouth with good things, redeems your life from destruction, crowns your life with loving kindness, all the wonderful blessings God's got for you. Okay, let's go over to Psalm 105. I want to show you this one. 105, have a look at verse 37. And this is David talking about what happened to the children of Israel. Right after they ate the Passover feast and they left Egypt, there's the picture right there. Right after you eat the covenant meal, the communion, and leave Egypt, in other words, translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his son, this is what it says about the people of Israel. He brought them forth with silver and gold. They took 40 years of back wages with them, plundered Egypt, became very wealthy overnight, right? They took that with them, but this is the key part here, and not one feeble among their tribes. And that word feeble literally means in ill health. Not one feeble one among them. Why? Because they'd all eaten the Passover meal. They'd partaken of Jesus. They'd eaten communion. That's why Jesus said, this is my body, this is my blood, take, eat, do it, declaring, this is what I've done for you. Remember, I have made you healthy. Not one feeble one among them. That was over 3 million men. That's the estimate. Plus women and children. Or maybe it was 3 million total. But even if it was just 3 million total, that's a lot of people. Every single one made whole. How powerful is our God? And he says, I'll be your God. You'll be my people. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. We get to live divinely healthy. And that reverses the effect of aging. Aging is a thing of the past for the Christian. You live healthy and strong. And you read that scripture that says, your youth is renewed like the eagles. Another covenant promise. Thank you, Jesus. We live divinely healthy and long-term youth. As long as you want to be here, God wants you here because he's got a call for your life. To minister the love of Jesus wherever you go. The anointing and the power of God. Okay, so we read 105 verse 37 there. Not one feeble one among their tribes. Praise God. 107 verse 20. He sent his word. Who is his word? Jesus. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Again, talking about the children of Israel when they were living in the promised land and they went off doing their own thing, following other gods, choosing to try and protect themselves, do all that stuff. The enemy came in, ruled over them. And it says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. When? When they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. When they, back to what we read in Psalm 91, when they declared what God said. That's all we have to do. Say what God says. Jeremiah 33. I'm going to race for you through a few of these. If you weren't aware, Jeremiah 31 is where the new covenant was prophesied. It's the passage there that says, this is the covenant I'll make with the people of Israel after those days, says the Lord. That's in verse 31, Jeremiah 31, 31. And then it goes on, after that, the Lord declares that covenant and says, this is what the new covenant is. And that's quoted in Hebrews chapter 8. And unfortunately, most Christians don't know that. But that is the covenant we are under. We're not under the old covenant. We don't have to live by the laws or do anything. We live under this new covenant. It's all about what God says, I will do for you. We just have to receive it. Okay? Chapters 32 and 33 are a continuation of the blessings of the covenant. All right? And it talks in there a lot about how God's going to rebuild Jerusalem, going to deliver the people, that kind of stuff. And then he gets over into chapter 33 and he talks here about reconfirming the covenant. And I want to pick up verse 6. It says here, behold, I will bring it health and cure. Talking here to the people of Israel, to the land of Israel that have been spoiled by their enemies. Has your life been spoiled by the curse? In the past it has. Right? So you can take this as part of the new covenant where God says, if your life was spoiled by the curse, if sickness came in, if disease came in, if aging's affected you, if these things have been done, then this is my covenant promise to you. I will bring it health and cure, make it whole again. And I will cure them and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. Now the word peace is the word shalom, which you know means nothing missing, nothing broken. If anything is lacking, it's replaced. If anything is hurt, it's fixed. If anything is missing, if anyone owes you anything, they give it back. Whatever it is, that's what the word shalom, when the Hebrews say shalom, shalom, they're meaning, may God do for you everything you need done. May nothing be missing and lacking in your life. That's what the word shalom means. That's peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, wholeness in every area. And I will cure them, heal them, deliver them of everything of the evil, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace. Not just, yeah, I'll make their life good, but the abundance of it. And that word abundance is the word far above and beyond what you can ask or think. In the Greek, it's the word hyper, like hyperbolic, you know, asymptotic, goes to the far extreme. That's what God's covenant promise to you is. And then he goes on, and I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return. Have you ever been held captive by sickness, disease, fear, lack, failure, worry? No, never happened. Right? It says here, I will cause that captivity to be removed. That's what to return means. And I'll bring you out of that captivity is what it's saying. And will build them as at first. In other words, I will make them the way I designed them to be. Verse 8, and I will cleanse them from all their iniquity. He did that at the cross. That's the base of the new covenant. Whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities. Whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. That's the basis of the new covenant. It's all done. Jesus fixed that for us. And here's a wonderful verse. And it shall be to me a name of joy. You realize God gets joy out of you being delivered, out of you being healed, out of you living in divine health, out of you enjoying his presence. That's what thrills him. He gets joy out of it. That's what he says here. It shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear of all the good that I do unto them. That's unto you. He wants you living it so good, the world sees you and goes, well, I want to be born again too. How do I get part of that? And then it goes on and says, this is talking about the nations. And they, the nations, shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and all the prosperity that I procure unto it. Wow. God's plan is for divine health for you. All right, some of the New Testament scriptures. 1 Peter 2:24. I think you all know this one. Anyone quote it for me? 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live in righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed. That's a quote out of Isaiah 53, right? Jesus took the punishment for the curse on the cross, his stripes, his suffering, that's what healed you. That's why we talk about the body being what healed us. By his stripes you were healed. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, this is God's plan for you. There is only one chapter in 3 John, so I guess we'll take 3 John 1. 3 John verse 2. Helps if I go to John, not Jude. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. That's God's plan for you, that you prosper and be in health. He doesn't want you sick. Romans 8, verse 11. Another one of my favorite scriptures. Romans 8, verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, now you know he does, right? So that if is completed. Because the Holy Spirit dwells in you, the Holy Spirit of the Father, who raised up Jesus from the dead, dwells in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead, in other words, the Holy Spirit, shall quicken, make alive, excuse me, heal your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. So where does divine health come from? It's Jesus in you and the power of the Holy Spirit making that manifest. And that comes through getting wisdom. Divine health is part of wisdom. When it says Jesus made unto us wisdom, that is knowing what to do at the right time. That can be in what you eat, what you drink, but even more importantly in what you say. Because that's where divine health comes, manifests, is through what we say. You're living today what you've been saying for the last 20 years. That's a truth. Why? Because you are made in the image of God. How does God do anything? He speaks. We do the same. That's why Satan wants to control your voice. That's why there's so much negativity in the world and people, it's always trying to get you to talk the bad. Why? Because that empowers the curse to operate. What do we say? We say the good. We talk about what God's done for us. All right, how about this? I wrote down here Psalm 84, verse 11. I just want to mention it. It's the verse where it says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. All right? That's a promise from God. Excuse me. You remember that verse? No good thing will he withhold. So, do you walk uprightly? Ah, yes. Good. I got one yes. Where is uprightly for the Christian defined? Can anyone tell me? All right. Let me take you to Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 14. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly, according to the truth of the gospel. Huh. So here Paul is defining what it means for a Christian to walk uprightly. He says, when I saw the disciples, and in fact he's talking about Peter here too, when I saw them not walking uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. In other words, they're not living in the gospel of Jesus. They're not walking uprightly. They're not maintaining the stance that God requires them to. And what was that stance? Resting in the completed work of Jesus. What happened? If you look at the history here or the context, it says that Paul had been eating with the Gentiles, been living free from the law. Peter had been living free from the law. And then a bunch of Jews came down from Jerusalem, and what did Peter do? He went back under the law, separated himself, went back to rejecting the Gentiles. And Paul calls him out, says, that's not walking uprightly, Peter. According to the gospel, all men are equal. All men are the same. All men are delivered from the curse. All men live free from the law. Why have you put yourself back under the law? And that was the whole book of Galatians is all about that. The whole church at Galatia, the Jews had come in and tried to tell them, you will have to live by the law. You will have to do what's right before God, not follow the Holy Spirit. So walking uprightly is walking free from self-performance. Not by our choice, not by what we do, not by what pleases me, not by what I want to do. Walking uprightly is being led by Holy Spirit. And as a result, God is not going to withhold anything from you. He does not withhold anything from those that walk uprightly. So if sickness and disease gets into your body, ask the Lord, Father, where am I missing it? I reject that self-performance. I choose to receive your blessing. Oh, so much good stuff here. How about John chapter 16, last verse. And then we'll take communion together, since that reflects, reminds us of what Jesus has done in being our health. All right? John chapter 16, rather, verse 23. This is Jesus talking about how you get the benefits of the new covenant. And that's really what I want to, part of what this message is supposed to be is not just Jesus, our health, but yeah, I know he's my health, but how do I get that into my physical body? Well, I've given you one of the big clues, and that's rejecting self-performance, all right? Rejecting having to do things to earn God's favor. It's not about that. It's just receiving from his provision, receiving his grace, grace for grace. Receiving it. And Jesus says here in John 23, this is how you receive it. John 16, rather, verse 23. And in that day, you shall ask me nothing. All right, now that, this is a little bit confusing until you see the Greek words that are here. The Greek word for ask, in Strong's, it's 2065, for those of you who want to go look it up, okay. In that day, you shall, and literally translates, or the best translation for this is beg. You shall beg nothing. And what is that day? Any day you have a need. Any day you need to pray for someone. Any day you need to receive healing. Any day you need a financial provision. Whatever it is, in that day you shall not beg me. That's what he's saying. You don't have to beg anymore. Because that's what the Jews were good at, begging God to do something. That was part of their covenant. Okay, the old covenant was, you do all this stuff begging God to help you. That doesn't apply in the new covenant. The new covenant, God has done it all. It's already supplied. He says, so you don't have to beg me anything. Truly, truly, I say unto you, whatever you shall ask, and that's 164 in Strong's, okay? And it literally means you shall demand. It's the word aitio. The previous one was eraitio, two different Greek words. One to beg, the other is to demand. It says, you shall demand the Father in my name, he will give it you. You come boldly before the throne of grace to receive help. How do you receive it? By coming and saying, Father, because of your covenant, I thank you and I demand health and wholeness in this physical body. I demand, I command it. Same thing. God says, when you're doing that, then I can make it come to pass. Once you declare it, and this is in the aorist tense, I love that. Because the aorist means it happens once and it's done. That's why you don't have to beg. Father, I thank you. I receive and I command wholeness in this physical body. Whatever ailment, whatever things are attacking you, you can do the same for your family. Whatever is attacking them. I command wholeness. I command healing for that. I command new life in this. I command whatever it is in Jesus' name. And it says, he will give it you. And if you know you've got it, no, command it. But the believing starts back knowing it's your right as a child of the living God. By Jesus' faith, you have received it. So now you declare it and you say, thank you, Jesus. And once you've demanded it, he's given it to you. If you've already got it, do you have to ask for it again? No, what are you doing then? Thank you, Jesus. So good to be healthy and whole. Thank you, Jesus. So good to walk free, pain-free. Thank you, Jesus. So good to be whatever it is. Giving him thanks and praise. Right? Hitherto you have asked, and this is declared nothing in my name. Declare it, and you shall receive that your joy may be full. Amen. Celebrating good health. Celebrating the blessing of God, celebrating his provision. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time comes when it won't be in Proverbs, but I'll show plainly of the Father. At that day, you shall ask, demand in my name, and I don't say I'll ask the Father for you because he's already given it to you. Isn't that good? Living in the blessing of God. Jesus is our health. And here he said, all you have to do is say what I say. Believe it and declare it. It's quite simple. Don't have to try and work for it, because if you work for it, you won't get it. If you try and behave right, it ain't going to happen. Now, you will behave right because of the love of the Father placed in you and because of the righteousness that you now are and because of everything God's done when you fully understand grace. People say, well, grace is only a license for sin. No, grace is what frees you from having to sin. You don't do that anymore. Why? Because of the love of the Father that's in you and because of the new life and the joy and everything else. Divine health is your provision. All right. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. God bless all of you, those of you watching online. Trust that's blessed you. We're going to go ahead and have communion now, so we'll say goodbye to you folk. Okay, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26. Final scripture for today, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26. Most of you probably know I've quoted this a number of times already, so this verse here is Jesus said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And then this is the cup of the new covenant. "In my blood, this do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Right? That's what we do. We know the body. I just saw in the scripture that it was by his stripes you were healed. It was done because Jesus took the punishment for the curse on his physical body. He delivered us from the curse that's in the earth. Galatians 3:13, okay? That's what you get to live in. So if there's any physical condition going on that is not divine health, in other words, if it's causing pain, if there's something that's not right, if it's causing lack of memory, whatever it is, that's part of the curse. And God says you've been delivered from that. So we either agree with him or we carry on living with the symptoms, right? So we agree with him. And we manifest that by taking this and saying, "Thank you, Jesus. Regardless of what the natural circumstances look like, you have made me healthy." And that's what verse 26 says. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup," and this is my literal Greek translation, "you declare the benefits of the Lord's death until they manifest." A bit like the doctor saying, take this pill 3 times a day, and in a week, this physical condition or sickness will be healed. They do it naturally. We do it in our covenant standing. Take this feast as often as you need to. Declare its benefits and it will manifest. That's the privilege of communion. It's our connection by faith to the reality of what Jesus did. Jesus healing you was not just a thing that happened 2,000 years ago and yeah, it's a nice story that the Bible records. No, it is a real event alive and well in your life today. He delivered us from the curse. Let's stand and partake together. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for what Jesus did for us. Thank you for the life that he has given to us. Jesus, thank you that even as we've read in the Word, you are our wisdom. You are made unto us wisdom, that we know what to do in every circumstance. And as part of that wisdom, you have been made our health. Thank you, Jesus, that we get to live in divine health because of what you did. And this feast, your body and your blood, they declare it to us. And so we partake again this morning, and we declare, no sickness comes nigh my dwelling, no evil befalls me. Wholeness and health are my portion. I receive them. As I partake of this body, I command it to manifest in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for the blood. Thank you that you have made us righteous. As far as east is from the west, thank you, Jesus, that we get to walk with you every day. We receive the blood afresh, knowing the goodness of your love towards us. Thank you, Father. Praise God. Amen.